This is the Mojo Matters podcast with Joe Britton, episode one. You're listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with me, your host, Joe Britton. Your mojo is your energy, your enthusiasm, and your motivation so that you've got the ability to get results for your personal and professional life without freaking out and burning out. Tune in for practical advice on how to find your mojo and keep it. Welcome to the Mojo Matters podcast, which is all about how to find your mojo and keep it so that you can navigate through these massively unpredictable and challenging times with more certainty and more clarity and more energy and more enthusiasm. I'm your host, Joe Britton. I decided to start this podcast because right now I'm recording this in October 2020. If you're listening in the future, we're living through the most chaotic of times. And I've been speaking to so many people who are just really feeling it at the moment. And they've been telling me that they've hit a bit of a brick wall and their energy is flagging. And so is their motivation and their enthusiasm. And they're just struggling somewhat to think positively. They've really lost their mojo. And this was me back in March 2020 when we went into the UK's lockdown and my business was hit really hard. To say I'd lost my mojo was an absolute understatement. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. I was fueled with anxiety and I just couldn't think clearly. And I was having panic attacks several times a day. And I just worried about absolutely everything. And some really well-meaning people said to me, Joe, you just have to think positively. And no matter how hard I tried, I just couldn't. And I later discovered why that's so. And so this is what this first episode is all about. Why it may be so hard for you to think positively at the moment and what you can do about it. So I'm going to be talking about what your mojo is, why it matters, and how you can find and keep it over the series of this Mojo Matters podcast. I'll cover loads of different mojo related topics, what drains your mojo cup, and I'll also be sharing some tools and techniques you can use to help you refill it. Because if there's one thing I know right now is that when you find your mojo, you can navigate forward more calmly and with more ease. But before I do this on this first episode, just let me tell you a little bit about myself. So I'm Jo and I'm a certified coach and I use evidence-based coaching techniques which are underpinned by scientific research, and I help people and organizations to achieve results in the personal and the business lives quickly and confidently, but crucially without freaking out and burning out, because that's what happened to me. I didn't realize it at the time. Before running my own business, I had to what some people may have thought a successful corporate career as a marketing director. But I was constantly exhausted by long hours and the travel and that inner nitpicker that was always kind of telling me that I wasn't good enough or smart enough or experienced enough, or that I was going to get found out any minute. And so I worked harder and harder and harder to compensate for that. And whilst I did actually always get results in my job, I always thought I had to keep proving myself and proving myself. And eventually I burnt out, but I don't think I realized it was that at the time. I thought I was this superwoman, this strong, resilient woman that could take on any challenge, thrived on it, absolutely loved change. But really, I'd been overdoing it for years. And eventually that all caught up with me. So one day, after a load of stuff that was going on at work, I've been so, so busy. There was tons of change going on at work. I'm not going to go into all of that here. I decided to leave the corporate world, and I didn't know what I was going to do, but I had always had this ambition to run my own business. So I took a leap of faith to do that. And I really surprised myself in my first year. I had an absolutely brilliant first year, had some great clients, and then the pandemic struck, and literally all of that work just disappeared overnight. Clients put a freeze on the work, or they cancelled stuff that was coming up, or they just paused existing contracts and said they didn't know whether they were going to restart them again. And that was the start of my mojo journey, because that's when I really lost mine. But when I worked on getting it back, the results have been totally amazing. So it's inspired me to create something called the Mojo Method, and to make it accessible to other people, to help them too, because right now I think everybody needs their mojo. So I just really want to help. Actually, I've got an ambition. I really want to help millions of other people around the world to find the mojo and get some transformational results for their personal and their business lives. Now, a full disclaimer, I am not a therapist, I'm not a counsellor or a psychologist or a scientist, but I am a certified and practicing performance coach. And the coaching industry is unregulated, which I think is a bit of a problem, because so many people I see out there give themselves the title of coach these days and they've not had any real training or assessment. I do run a startup business, and I have been involved with running other businesses. I've also spent thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds and hours investing in my own training, learning, research, and being taught very fortunately by some of the very best and most renowned neuropsychology experts in the world. And the stuff that I've learned and the stuff that I've learned, I've used on myself, and it's worked. It's worked for me, and it's working for others that I coach. So I'm speaking from my own experience and those of the results that I get for my clients, or my clients get, should I say. So on to the main part of the show. If you're listening to this podcast episode today, I'm guessing it's because the last few months have been taking their toll on you. And of course, you wouldn't be alone if you're tired of spinning plates and lacking energy and motivation, but you know that you deserve so much more, but you're just finding it so flipping hard to be positive, then just keep with me, keep listening, because I'm going to talk to you about why that is so, why it's so hard at the moment, or at many times in our life, to think positively, and what you can do about it. Because once I understood this, everything, absolutely everything, changed for me. So if this is you, please know that you are not alone. We've been living in the most disruptive, chaotic, challenging of times. And what we're seeing, I think, as we're living through this global pandemic, is a global stress response across the world. And so every day there is, as we know, there's something new that we need to cope with or adapt to. And it happens really quickly. And just at a moment's notice, you know, whether that's a local lockdown that's happening overnight, or you might be involved in experiencing mass changes or restructures at work, or the threat, or even the unfortunate experience of redundancy, and you're still trying to juggle family life and your work life, and you're trying to, maybe you run a business and you are in one of those sectors that's been so hard hit, and you're trying to, I hate that word, but pivot and innovate and generate income for your business in a different way, or protect it from the unpredictable chaos. At the moment, in October 2020, there just appears to be no end in sight. And we're heading into the Christmas season, and in the UK, the furlough scheme's ending. And I've been speaking to just so many people who have said they've just hit this brick wall. So based on this, it's probably fair to say we're going to see a lot more emotional tumbling in the weeks and months to come. And what's the effect of this? For so many of us, it's affecting our mojo, and we may be staring at the dregs of an empty mojo cup, which means you might be lacking enthusiasm or energy or motivation, or maybe your thinking is really foggy, or perhaps you're feeling agitated or angry even, or frustrated, or maybe you feel a bit numb or helpless. And when those well-meaning people say to you, well, you know, we're all in the same boat, I just want to say, well, no, we're not. We're not all in the same boat, actually. We might all be sailing this sea at the moment, but for some of us, it's calm at the moment and we're in an ocean liner. And for others, we're in a rubber dinghy with a tsunami fast approaching. So again, when you may hear, they're so well-meaning, that people that say to you, you just need to think positive and it just doesn't work. I'm going to share with you why in a moment. The bottom line is all this stuff going on is affecting our mojo. So let me just clear up a few definitions about what your mojo is and why it's important, especially right now. Because if you Google the word mojo, you'll find a variety of different definitions. And I always used to giggle when I heard the word mojo because I watched the Austin Powers movies, and Austin Powers' mojo is what gives him his legendary sexual prowess, isn't it? And so when you Google mojo, you'll find different meanings, like slang for libido or a magical charm or spell or your power to attract people. So for me, my mojo definition is your energy and your enthusiasm and your motivation, and also your confidence, so that you can get stuff done consistently, persistently, and that helps you achieve results that you really truly deserve and are capable of achieving in your life and in your business. Because when your mojo cup is really full to the brim, you can overcome these setbacks with a bit more ease and less stress, and you can bounce back from the chaos calmly, and you have more confidence to go forward. So even in these unpredictable times, you can still live your best life with health and wealth and happiness. So how do you find your mojo and think positively? For me, this is what I discovered over the last few months. It starts with your nervous system. So I'm going to get into the science around this and why it's important to understand your nervous system and the science of why thinking positively can be so hard. But it's actually the nervous system that's at the heart of this, and it's the most fundamental thing of all. Because when you're feeling stressed and anxious or overwhelmed, or when you feel really frustrated or agitated or annoyed, it is impossible to think in positive ways. Productive and positive thinking just goes offline. And I'm going to explain why in my own layman's terms, scientific layman's terms. So apologies, because I'm not a scientist and I'm not a medical professional, but this is my own explanation using the science as to what's going on and why it means it's really, really hard to think positively. Because when you're feeling stressed and anxious, or you're frustrated, or you're feeling a bit numb or overwhelmed, your nervous system is dysregulated. And it's then going to be totally impossible to think positively and take productive action with a dysregulated nervous system. And here's why. It's because our mind and our body are not separate things neurologically and neurophysiologically. One is always influencing the other. So what I mean by that is that if I'm thinking something that's not positive, that or I'm afraid, those thoughts, anxious thoughts, can dysregulate my body physiologically. And equally, when my body is experiencing something, so when I experience the feeling of that stress or anxiety, I then can influence the nature of my mind. So it's kind of like a two-way street. And so here's how this happens. Because our brain is the main source that is sending information in two different ways to the nervous system. It's sending information to the organs, which is either going to excite them and arouse them into action, into activity, or it's going to quiet them, depress that organ activity. It's doing this to either mobilize us for action or demobilize us, based on the things that we're perceiving around us, our perception of the world around us. So if I'm perceiving at the moment, which for many of us, and me included, I was doing this too, if I'm perceiving my world around me as being unsafe, yes, it feels unsafe when there's this virus around, or threatening. Yes, I do feel threatened because I might be losing my job, and it's not my fault because you've shut my industry down. My body needs to be able to respond to that. And in some cases, that response means it's going to get really agitated. That's that kind of fight flight situation. And at other times, it could be a paralysis, a feeling of paralysis. So it kind of goes still and quiet, and maybe that means that you withdraw, and that's the freeze response happening in the body. Now, these are stress responses, and they're really life-saving gifts. They're absolutely brilliant. They're saving our lives, but only if we're using them appropriately. And at the moment, so many of us are in this fight, flight, or freeze response. And also technically, in non-life-threatening situations too, and I'll explain that in a little bit, but it's where we might perceive a threat. So what I mean by that is all this stuff that's happening to us at the moment in the pandemic, and happening at really heightened levels, all of this disruption, like the kids go back to school and then they're back in isolation a few days later. We think we can go to pubs and restaurants, and then they look like they're closing in parts of the country again. We are experiencing a lot of change and restructure, maybe in work, and we're having to adapt to that really, really quickly. And oh, that doesn't feel good. We're in this state of fight, flight, or freeze. And so we've been living in it, for many of us, for months now. And what's happening is we're running the body in a way that isn't sustainable. And, you know, a lot of these threats that are going on, they're not that physical, life-threatening threat, physically in the room with us, but they're also in our mind as patterns and stories and fears, and those hopes and dreams that we had for 2020 for our lives that we've not been able to realize. Let me just share with you, just to kind of reinforce this, by explaining and telling you my own recent personal story, because this I discovered was me at the beginning of lockdown in March, back in the UK, and my nervous system was just so dysregulated that I couldn't function at all and think clearly. A week into lockdown back in March, to say I'd lost my mojo, you know, it was totally an understatement. And because my business had been hit really hard by the pandemic and I had no money coming in, and I was really, really worried about paying my mortgage and my bills. And I got really, really angry because I'd watched our government make an announcement to say that, you know, nobody will be left behind. And then I didn't qualify for any of the government support schemes. I was so angry about that. But then I was also really, really worried. And I was worried about the health of my family. And gosh, do you know, I worried about absolutely everything. And then I was paralyzed by fear. And my anxiety went through the roof. And that meant I couldn't eat. And then I couldn't sleep. And then I was having panic attacks. And I was totally stuck. And I just couldn't think clearly. And then I started comparing myself to people, because I was watching people around me who appeared to be effortlessly adapting in the pandemic. And, you know, every day I was watching these massively courageous and strong health workers showing up, working so many hours on the front line to battle against the virus and treat people. And I was watching engineers and manufacturing businesses all collaborating and answering that call to make some of that essential healthcare equipment that was in a critical state of short supply. And then there were all the key workers in public services and food and transport and logistics keeping the country going. And then I watched all these parents who were adapting working from home, and then they were homeschooling the kids, and they were joining in with Joe Wicks's daily PE lessons and baking banana bread. And I was sitting at home completely paralysed and doing my best hippo impression, wallowing in a mud of fear and anxiety, and I lacked energy and motivation, and actually my confidence took a massive knock. But I couldn't understand what was happening to me, because I just thought, this isn't me, is it? I've never been sort of the person to be afraid and wallow in the face of change and challenge when times got tough. I was somebody that really loves that kind of game, that, you know, to take action and, you know, we're all in this together and we can do it, I thrive on it. And actually in my corporate job, I used to actively seek out change and challenge. So I couldn't understand why I was just so paralyzed, and I was horrified, and I was stuck, and I was sitting at home feeling helpless and, dare I say, completely worthless. And then I was saying to myself, well, nobody wants my work right now, and it feels really frivolous. And I was watching all this stuff on social media and through the mainstream media, and people were offering their services for free. And I was thinking, well, God, it's going to be really insensitive of me to sell right now. So then I became afraid to sell, and I stopped selling. And then I became more overwhelmed and anxious and fearful, and I couldn't function. And then I started beating myself up, saying, you know, for goodness sake, you're a coach, why aren't you able to function? And I just felt bad. I felt really, really guilty. And so my mental and physical health was not in a good place at that time. But I did know this. I did know that I had a choice, and I could either stay this way and be really paralyzed and stuck and worry, or I could take action. And I chose the latter, and to help myself. And I prioritized investment in myself so that I had the navigation tools to cope with this continuous disruption, because there was one thing I felt really certain of, that it was this, that we're going to be in this for the long haul, and we just don't know how things are going to pan out. And so what I discovered in investing in myself was something that I learned about my nervous system and this nerve called the vagus nerve. And in fact, it's a bundle of nerves, and it's incredibly complex. And again, apologies, because I'm not a scientist or a medical professional, so forgive my oversimplification here maybe of the explanation. But the vagus nerve regulates every organ of the body, and it also plays a role in helping to kind of press the override button in the threat and stress response that we experience in our bodies when we experience or perceive a threat, if we can stimulate it. So let me explain this. Those fears I had about not being able to pay my mortgage, and that frustration and anger I had about being one of the left behind and not qualifying for the government's financial support, those stories I was telling myself about how nobody was buying my work at this time and that it would be really insensitive of me to sell, which meant then I didn't want to get out of bed and I kind of withdrew and didn't really want to speak with people. That was sending my nervous system into a massive state of dysregulation. And the effect was I was also angry and anxious. And really, I was living in both the sympathetic, the fight flight response, and the parasympathetic arousal, the freeze response. So again, when you're stressed, you might experience the fight reaction, that rage or anger or irritation or frustration. And, you know, I see this now happening around me. People that get annoyed about the mask wearing or the way the restrictions are being handled, or that they're being made redundant or forgotten about, because, you know, they've paid the taxes, right? And in their hour of need, feeling that they've been left behind. Or I see people experience the flight response, and because this was me too, the panic, the worry, the concern. And the thing is, what's happening to the body in this response is it's setting off all the neurochemistry, and our blood pressure and heart rate is increasing, and adrenaline's pumping, and oxygen's going to our vital organs to save our life. And the body decreases what it thinks is non-essential in this life-saving moment. Our insulin activity decreases, our digestion decreases, and so does our immune system response, by the way. But so does our rational ability. So we're not able to think rationally and clearly. And so I likened this to having Frankenstein running amok in my head. Or when we're stressed or overwhelmed or anxious, and we may experience the parasympathetic arousal, the freeze response, we may feel really overwhelmed and helpless and or even depressed or numb or shame or shut down or hopeless or trapped. And what's happening in our body in the freeze response is our heart rate and blood pressure are decreasing. There's a change in our facial expressions. Our face can look quite blank, and we might avoid eye contact. And again, our immune system, our immune response decreases. But in this case, insulin activity increases, and we're flooded with endorphins that help numb and raise our pain threshold. And I liken this to the Medusa effect. So, you know, one look at Medusa in her eyes and she turns you to stone. So when you're living in the stress response, the fight, flight, freeze response, you can wish all you flipping want for your thoughts to be more positive and for your mindset to change and for your perspective to change, but it's just not going to. Unless you then regulate your nervous system so that it's in the state where the body is functioning normally and as it should be. It's the rest and digest state. And when we're in rest and digest, we're able to access the higher executive functioning parts of the brain, our prefrontal cortex, which is involved with things like deductive reasoning and problem solving and compassion and creativity. And when you do that, you then discover what's possible and you start to move forward productively and calmly and even more confidently. So how did I navigate forward once I knew all of this? What I started to do was learn how to stimulate and tone the vagus nerve. And I learned a couple of really, really simple free things that you can do here. And my absolute favorite one is shaking the body. So you give your body a shake vigorously for 60 seconds and it kind of dissipates your stress, just like if you notice an animal does after it's experienced a threat. Also, some other things that you can do, like hum or sing or gargle or make raspberries with your lips. So what I did was I created a daily regimen and I combined this vagal toning. I called it my workout, vagal toning workout. And then I also researched mood boosting nutrition. And I developed some neuroliteracy. What I mean by that is those stories that were not helping me, that were keeping me stuck and fearful, I learned how to craft and tell myself much better and more helpful stories that fueled me into action. And one of those stories was, instead of me thinking and telling myself nobody is buying my kind of work at the moment because it's a bit frivolous, I kind of wrote a new story that said, what if actually everybody really needs the work that I do at the moment, because it's so important to help them navigate the challenges of the moment. Once I started to write that story and tell that story to myself, suddenly I was absolutely motivated and energized. And this actually, because it worked for me, this combination worked for me in 14 days. I went from being really paralyzed to being a productive action taker in 14 days. So it really inspired me. It worked for me and I thought this can work for other people. So it's actually now become my mojo method. Because the result when I found my mojo was that I was then able to innovate my business. And then I started earning money again. And I was moving forward without being so fearful and panicky and anxious. So there you go. If you're struggling to think positively at the moment, this is why. I've shared with you the science that underpins this. Understanding and regulating your nervous system is so important to help you navigate forward more productively and more calmly. And hopefully those little vagus toning techniques you're going to try too, because they're super easy and simple to do anytime, as many times as you like during the day. And I coach you in more of these practical tools and techniques in my Find Your Mojo in 14 Days Challenge. If you're interested in that, you can head over to my Mojo site at bit.ly/MojoChallenge142 for more details, or you can follow me on Instagram. I'm joebritton.mojo. Stay well and see you next time. You've been listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with Jo Britton. Tune in again for more practical advice on how to find your mojo and how to keep it.